Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, You Are Not Enough. And That Is Okay by Ali Beth Stuckey is a Christian nonfiction critique of contemporary self-love culture, written from a conservative evangelical perspective. The book argues that popular messages about being enough, trusting personal feelings, and locating fulfillment inside the self create more anxiety than freedom. Stuckey positions the book against the language of self-esteem, therapeutic affirmation, influencer spirituality, and some strands of Christian teaching that adopt similar ideas. Its purpose is not to deny human dignity, but to challenge the claim that personal worth, security, and purpose can be generated by self-approval. The book instead frames human limitation as a theological reality and directs readers toward dependence on God, rather than continual self-validation. As a work of Christian cultural commentary and self-help criticism, it combines biblical argument, practical reflection, and critique of modern identity language, especially as it affects women, church communities, and readers shaped by social media-driven self-improvement. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the self-love promise is presented as emotionally exhausting rather than liberating. A central argument of the book is that self-love culture offers a promise it cannot fulfill. Stuckey challenges the assumption that people become secure, generous, and whole once they achieve sufficient self-acceptance. In her reading, this promise produces a cycle of monitoring, improvement, and reassurance because the self becomes both the object of concern and the proposed solution. If confidence depends on continually feeling adequate, attractive, successful, or authentic, then it remains unstable. The book connects this instability to modern habits of comparison, especially the curated world of social media, where self-affirmation often coexists with insecurity. Stuckey does not treat low self-esteem merely as a psychological problem to be corrected through stronger affirmations. She argues that the deeper issue is misplaced dependence. When people are told to look inward for final confirmation of their worth, they are left with a limited and changing source of assurance. This makes the critique sharper than a general complaint about vanity. The book portrays self-love not simply as excessive confidence, but as an inadequate foundation for identity because it requires the self to supply what the self cannot reliably provide. Secondly, human insufficiency becomes a theological starting point instead of a personal failure. The title summarizes one of the book's most distinctive moves. Insufficiency is not treated as a problem to be denied, but as a reality to be interpreted through Christian doctrine. Stuckey argues that people experience inadequacy because they are finite, flawed, dependent, and unable to secure ultimate meaning by themselves. The point is not that human beings lack value, but that they are not self-sufficient. This distinction matters because the book resists both despair and self-deification. In a secular self-help framework, admitting that one is not enough can sound damaging or defeatist. In Stuckey's Christian framework, it becomes the basis for freedom from the demand to construct an invulnerable self. The argument depends on the belief that God, rather than the individual, supplies worth, wisdom, purpose, and moral direction. The book, therefore, reframes weakness as a doorway to dependence rather than as evidence of uselessness. This approach also explains why Stuckey opposes constant affirmation. She sees it as an attempt to hide the truth of human limitation, while Christian faith allows that limitation to be acknowledged without making it final. Thirdly, cultural slogans are tested against biblical claims about truth and identity. Much of the book works by examining common phrases associated with self-love culture and contrasting them with biblical teaching. Stuckey addresses ideas such as being enough, personal truth, validated feelings, unconditional pursuit of dreams, and the claim that one must love oneself before loving others. Her concern is not only that these slogans are vague, but that they can shift authority from God to the individual. Feelings become treated as reliable guides, personal desire becomes moral direction, and identity becomes something self-declared rather than received. The book argues that this pattern has entered some Christian spaces through conferences, books, social media accounts, and ministry language that sound encouraging while borrowing assumptions from therapeutic individualism. Stuckey responds by prioritizing scripture over emotional certainty and by emphasizing sanctification, repentance, and obedience. The reasoning is concrete. If feelings are changeable, then they cannot serve as the highest standard for truth. If personal desire is fallen or incomplete, then it must be evaluated rather than automatically affirmed. This makes the book both a cultural critique and an internal church critique, especially of messages marketed to Christian women. Fourthly, the book replaces self-affirmation with self-sacrifice as the model for love. Stuckey argues that modern self-love language often treats the self as the first and highest obligation, while Christian ethics points outward toward God and neighbor. This is especially clear in her rejection of the idea that one cannot love others until one first loves oneself. The book does not deny that people should avoid self-hatred, abuse, or destructive neglect. Rather, it disputes the claim that self-focus is the necessary foundation for genuine love. From a Christian perspective, love is learned through receiving God's love and imitating Christ-like service, not through endless self-confirmation. This shifts the emphasis from emotional readiness to moral action. Self-sacrifice in this framework is not presented as erasing human dignity, but as a corrective to a culture that often equates fulfillment with personal autonomy and self-expression. The book therefore critiques both narcissism and fragile perfectionism. If a person must feel fully whole before serving others, love is postponed indefinitely. Stuckey instead presents dependence on God as the condition that frees people to act beyond self-protection, self-display, and the constant search for internal validation. Lastly, its practical application depends on accepting a Christian view of authority. The book is practical, but its practicality is inseparable from its theological commitments. Stuckey does not offer a neutral psychological method for building confidence or reducing anxiety. Her recommended alternative to self-love is reliance on God, trust in Scripture, and a reordering of desires around Christian discipleship for readers who share that framework. The book can function as a diagnostic tool for identifying ways cultural language shapes expectations about happiness, identity, beauty, ambition, and emotional certainty. It encourages readers to question whether encouragement that sounds compassionate may actually reinforce self-centeredness or unrealistic pressure. For readers outside the Christian tradition, the argument may be less persuasive because its answer to insufficiency rests on biblical authority and divine grace rather than secular therapy or personal development. While that limitation is also part of its clarity, the book does not try to translate its claims into a broadly spiritual or motivational vocabulary. It stands firmly within conservative evangelical thought, which allows it to be direct about sin, dependence, truth, and worship. Its usefulness, therefore, depends heavily on whether the reader accepts its account of human nature and moral authority. In conclusion, You Are Not Enough, and that is okay, is best suited for Christian readers who are uneasy with the language of self-love but want a clear explanation of why it may conflict with biblical faith. It will be especially relevant to Christian women, ministry leaders, parents, and readers who encounter affirmation-centered messages through social media, conferences, devotionals, or self-help books. Its practical benefit lies in helping readers examine the assumptions beneath familiar encouragements, whether feelings should define truth, whether self-approval can provide lasting security, and whether personal dreams deserve unquestioned authority. Intellectually, the book offers a concise example of conservative evangelical cultural criticism applied to the wellness and self-esteem movements. It stands out from many Christian self-help titles because it does not simply add religious language to the pursuit of confidence. Instead, it challenges the pursuit itself when it becomes a substitute for dependence on God. Compared with secular books on self-esteem, its distinctiveness is its willingness to name insufficiency as real rather than as a negative thought to be overcome. Readers looking for clinical psychology, pluralistic spirituality, or a gentle affirmation manual may find its framework too narrow or confrontational. Readers seeking a theologically direct critique of modern self-affirmation will find its position clear, consistent, and category-specific. If you would like to support Ali Beth Stuckey, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.